Today's reading is in Matthew 16, starting in verse 21. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Remember that in yesterday's reading, Peter had confessed Jesus as the Christ, saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Now, after that confession, and after Jesus saying that Peter is understanding this because of his spiritual sight, if you will, he's looking at things from a spiritual standpoint, then in this next section, when Jesus talks about his spiritual mission that includes him dying on the cross and being raised the third day, Peter takes him aside and rebukes him and says, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen." Peter is saying, "I'm not going to let that happen." Now think about that for a moment. This is a big shift from "you are the Christ," and in making that statement, he's saying, "You are the one in authority, we will follow you." And now he's saying, "No, I don't like what you're saying, and I'm not going to let that happen." I don't think Peter is processing it on that level, but understand that's the implication of what's going on here. So they've gone from the high of the Christ has come. We recognize that. Jesus confirms it to, "Now you need to understand that I'm going to be taken to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer many things. I'm going to die. And I'll be raised the third day." And I don't think the raised the third day is really sinking in. I think the die part is what they're really focusing on, what's really sinking in for them. And so Peter is thinking, look, we have just now gotten to the point that we understand who you are, and you have confirmed that to us. We don't want you to go. I mean, we can understand Peter's feeling on that. I'm not sure you and I would be all that different in Peter's shoes. This is a similar moment to when Jesus is washing the feet of the disciples in John chapter 13, and he gets to Peter, and Peter states, "You will never wash my feet." And then Jesus tells him, "Well, then, you know, you won't have any part with me." And then he says, "Okay, how about my head, my hands, and everything?" So Peter has a habit of kind of focusing in on one element or one thing in a situation and ignores some of the rest. So he's focusing in on Jesus saying, "I'm going to die," and he's ignoring the resurrection, the plan of God, all of these different things, and that's holding him back. And I think we do something similar sometimes. We hone in on one key thing to us, and we ignore something else in context or something else that's going on that helps us to understand the overall picture. That's something we have to be very careful with, because we don't want to change what God is saying because we ignore a portion of it. And I don't think any of us intends to do that, but I think that it's something that we can fall into rather easily. That's one of the biggest problems with proof texting as well. You hone in on one thing and ignore everything else so that you get an incorrect view. But Jesus responds to this by saying, "Get behind me, Satan." He recognizes the influence of Satan clouding the vision of Peter so that Peter can't see the truth of the moment, that this is the plan of God and that that resurrection will be a very glorious thing and that it will usher in the kingdom of which they want so badly. Jesus is not going to allow the influence of Satan to change God's plan or to change his humility, to change his obedience. It's much the same as when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness and Satan said, "If you are the Son of God," you know, tempting him with a position in which he does not allow things to happen to him. So through Peter now, Satan is essentially saying, if you are the Son of God, if you're really the Christ, you don't have to die. You don't have to suffer. You have the power to stop that. Well, that's true. But if Jesus did stop it, then he would not fulfill the plan of God, which was for the redemption of mankind. So it's very important that we understand that Satan is always going to throw curveballs at us to get us to do what we think is better or easier, when in reality, it's ignoring God's plan. Peter was focusing on that worldly perspective, thinking about the suffering and the death. And likewise, sometimes we think from a worldly perspective and we don't see the spiritual things that need to guide our actions, our thoughts, our words. So what do we do? I mean, what do we learn from this? Well, we learn that we really need to analyze situations. We need to be careful of the influence of Satan that is tempting us to do something other than what God intends. Satan is always going to throw that thought in there. Do you really have to go the hard way? Do you really have to do it the hard way? Do you really have to suffer? Do you really have to be ridiculed? You know, all of those thoughts that make us want to shrink back from doing what's right, saying what's right, thinking what's right, avoiding fulfilling the desires of the flesh. So we need to be very careful that we don't fall prey to the influence of Satan, who is very, very good at disguising the things that he is tempting us with. We need to have courage to resist temptation and discern what's the right spiritual path for us. Thank you for listening. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.